Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me this week as we dive into God's Word, as we ask the questions, what is God saying to us, and what are we doing about it? And we are on the roll in the summer. I hope wherever you are, the weather has officially turned. It has taken a long time here in Michigan. We've been going back and forth the last couple of weeks between cold and hot and cold and hot. And so I hope it's officially summer where you are. And we're coming off the heels here in the church of so many feasts stacked back to back. Obviously, we were in the Easter season, and then we come into Pentecost, and then we had the solemnity of the body and blood of Jesus. The ascension was in there, and we're in this season of the church of celebrating these times when the church launched, when the church was born, when God sent the Holy Spirit upon the church in a particular way. And so as we move through these times, there's a way that, just like in the early church, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are launching us, each and every one of us in the church, out into more. That we walk through these seasons, these liturgical seasons, so we can have a deeper understanding of, yes, what happened historically, but also what God has in store for us. And so that we can live a new way of life, we can walk in new power, we can do these things in a new way. And so I hope that as you've been going through these liturgical seasons, you've been feeding on God's Word and also the readings. And what I want to do this week, as we're kind of entering into the summer, we're coming off of all of these feasts, one way for me, and we've done this on the show before, that I kind of get readjusted in new seasons and diving into the Word, is I either restart a new book of the Bible or I jump back into the readings of the day. And so this week, very simply, we just want to go back to the readings that the church is giving us through the Mass and just say, after these liturgical seasons, after Pentecost, after Easter, after the church is launching us out, what is the church saying to her people? What is the church giving us to feed on? And it can be such a good thing to do. I mean, it's great to do every day, but I like to do it in a particular way to kind of reground myself at the beginning of a new season, the beginning of a new liturgical season. And so that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to spend some time in the readings of the day. As I said, we're coming off of the Feast of the Solemnity of, you know, the body and blood of Jesus. And so we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Sometimes we're going to be in the first reading. Sometimes we're going to be in the Psalm. Sometimes we're going to be in the Gospel, allowing the Lord to really speak to us from what the church is saying. And friends, I often find that as I do this, as I spend a week kind of doing this, recentering, and then I continue on reading the readings of the day, but there's something in these readings that usually grab me to center back into a particular book of God's Word, to open my Bible and actually to dive into that particular book there. So we're going to begin in the Psalm today, and it's going to be Psalm 121, and I'm going to read the responsorial Psalm and then go into the Gospel. But let's just pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you say that without you, we can do nothing. Not that we can do some things, not that we can do 50% and you do 50%, that without you, we truly can do nothing. So right now, Lord, we just come before you and we depend on you, even to hear your voice, to know you, to see you. We even depend on you, Lord, to open our eyes to see you in a clearer way, to read your Word in a clearer way. Lord, we just lean completely on you right now. We ask you to be our strength and our shield and our refuge. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to read this responsorial psalm because I often find that this is the case with me when I go into God's word and I go into the readings of the day. So often that psalm or the readings or whatever it is so, I think, particular to my life and to what the Lord is speaking to us. And so it's Psalm 121 and the response is, our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so even just that prayer that we had about depending on the Lord, about relying on the Lord. So we're going to read this psalm response and then I'm just going to go into the gospel. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Whence shall help come to me? My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. May he not suffer your foot to slip. May he slumber not who guards you. Indeed, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard your coming and your going, both now and forever. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. And I just love that psalm so much because, well, we'll talk about it after we do the reading. I'm going to read the gospel as well. Gospel is from Matthew 5, starting with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began teaching them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Both the psalm and the gospel we have before us are two hefty readings. Again, we have the psalm saying, our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And friends, I love this psalm because it's a psalm about God being the guardian of Israel. And I love that line where he says, he who guards you, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. And it's so convicting to me, this idea of the Lord being my guardian, because I'm like, yes, Lord, you're my protector. You're all these different things. You're my shield. You're my refuge. And then I do a lot of the protecting myself. I'm like, oh yeah, you're my guardian. You're my protector. But then I spend most of the time needing to protect myself, needing to be my own advocate, needing to fix that situation, all this kind of stuff, needing to step out before in front of myself so I can be like, okay, I'm taking care of myself. But it's this challenge to say, am I letting the Lord be my guardian, or am I having to guard myself? Am I having to fix everything myself? And I think that's a question for each and every one of us. Are we allowing the Lord to truly guard us? Are we allowing him to step before us in those situations that are hard? I know for me, there's even a situation yesterday where I just was like, no, I'm going to talk to someone about this. I'm going to take this into my own hands. And I felt kind of like this unsettledness in my heart, but I was like acting out of a place of pain. I'm like, no, I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to make people understand where I'm coming from. Da, 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 da. And the Lord is like, let me be your guardian and protector. And friends, we all have those places in our hearts, but I love in this psalm, there's like this reassurance of like the one who is your guardian, the one who guards you, he doesn't sleep nor slumber, the guardian of Israel, that he doesn't take a break from guarding you. It's not like, oh, he's the security guard at the mall and he goes on break and then that's the time where you get robbed and you get attacked. No, he never slumbers or sleeps. He will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard your comings and your goings both now and forever, to really trust the Lord. And then in the last few minutes here in Matthew, we have the Beatitudes. And these are some of Jesus' most famous teaching, right? He goes up to the mountain and he sits down and he begins to tell them these blessings. And this idea, like these blessings and these curses, it would have been very familiar to the Israelites. You have, starting in Deuteronomy, the blessings and the curses. This is part of the old covenant in a very particular way. And so Jesus is using kind of a literary device, a speaking device that is very similar to what they would have known. They would have understood it. But the thing is that he's saying, it's like they would have understood the outline. They would have understood how he was saying it. But the things that he's saying are shocking. Because what you have is you have the Jewish people who are looking for a Messiah who's military. They're looking for a Messiah who's going to come take over. You have the high priests who are sitting at high places at table who are getting honor. All of these different things. And so they expect the Messiah is going to be a king in a particular way. You also have that situated in a Roman culture, which is about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Roman culture, power. And here comes Jesus and he says, here's where you'll find blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so he's coming and he's turning it on its head. He's again showing us in this outline, he's saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And what I love too about the Beatitudes and what I want to say is that, for example, you have the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? It doesn't necessarily mean to be financially lacking or lacking, you know, a big personality. It means this dependence on God. This humility, this freedom from pride, this awareness of our limitations and open to having a deeper reliance on God is what we were praying at the beginning. So you have poor in spirit. They see God. You have those who mourn, they will be comforted. Those who are meek, right? Those who have strength under control, they will inherit the land. Not they will take the land. That was happening a lot, but they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So he's going through all these. And then finally, this one that's really hard. Blessed are they when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. These are all very challenging things. None of us are naturally like this, right? I'm naturally not meek. I naturally don't want to endure persecution. I'm like, oh, you persecuted me? I'm going to go after you. You're talking about me? I'm going to go after you. I'm naturally not poor in spirit. I want to do it myself. But the reality is, and friends, a way to be encouraged is Jesus isn't saying down and he's saying, hey, these are the people I'm looking for. And if you're like this, I'm going to choose you to come into the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is giving is he's giving an outline for the kind of people that he wants to make through his spirit. That this is not where we begin, but he's coming down. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Will you let me make you poor in spirit? For there you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Will you let me make you meek through the power of my spirit? He's saying these are the kind of people, not that I'm looking for, but how I want to transform you. And it's interesting, you know, we have that psalm that said about letting the Lord guard us, letting the Lord be our help. And then we have these Beatitudes, which are a lot about weakness, a lot about laying down our own pride, a lot about leaning on the Lord, letting him transform us. And so there's a connection there of when we allow God to be our help. Where does our help come from? When we allow him to be our help, we become transformed into people who are entering into the kingdom of heaven according to God's vision. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.